From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message called Dissension in Antioch, part of a series of studies in the book of Acts. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 56. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. He never deserted them. But they, in cowardly fear of their lives, fled from him in the very beginning of his sufferings. This is but one instructive instance of the frailty of all believers, if left to themselves. They are but sheep at the best, and they flee when the wolf cometh. They had all been warned of the danger, and had promised to die rather than leave their master, and yet they were seized with sudden panic and took to their heels. It may be that I, at the opening of this day, have braced up my mind to bear a trial for the Lord's sake, and I imagine myself to be certain to exhibit perfect fidelity. But let me be very jealous of myself, lest, having the same evil heart of unbelief, I should depart from my Lord as the apostles did. It is one thing to promise, and quite another to perform. It would have been to their eternal honor to have stood at Jesus' side right manfully. They fled from honor. May I be kept from imitating them. Where else could they have been so safe as near their master, who could presently call for 12 legions of angels? They fled from their true safety. O God, let me not play the fool also. Divine grace can make the coward brave. The smoking flax can flame forth like fire on the altar when the Lord wills it. These very apostles, who were timid as hares, grew to be as bold as lions after the Spirit had descended upon them. And even so the Holy Spirit can make my recreant spirit brave to confess my Lord and witness for his truth. What anguish must have filled the Savior as he saw his friends so faithless. This was one bitter ingredient in his cup. But that cup is drained dry. Let me not put another drop in it. If I forsake my Lord, I shall crucify him afresh and put him to an open shame. Keep me, O blessed Spirit, from an end so shameful.
Heaven.
Regular Bible reading is an essential part of the Christian life. In the Holy Scriptures, God has given us everything we need to know for salvation, for spiritual growth, and for the many issues and problems that believers face. However, many Christians do not profit from the Bible as they should because they have no guidance as to how to study it. Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Following their first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas returned to the church in Antioch to report on the souls that had been saved and the churches that had been established. Although the news was met with much rejoicing on the part of some, there were others who insisted that the Gentile converts be required to submit to the Jewish ceremonial law, especially circumcision, in order to be saved. The apostles stood firm in this controversy, and so must God's people today. We are to earnestly contend for the basic tenets of the gospel of Christ, salvation by grace alone, and the finality and sufficiency of Christ's work on the cross. Now to conclude this message called Dissension in Antioch, here is Dr. Cairns.
It never makes sense to the carnal reasoning of ungodly men how faith in Jesus Christ can bring a man from the road to hell to the road to heaven. Never makes sense. But I tell you, it makes sense to God Almighty. And the Lord has said, it's by faith in Jesus Christ. And even that faith, according to Ephesians 2, is the gift of God. It's not of works. It's not worked up by men. It's the gift of God that no man should boast in God's sight. I wonder this morning, as we look at the very heart of the gospel, are you depending on merit or are you depending on Christ? I wonder, are you seeking to add to the finished work of Jesus Christ? I wonder, are you in the position of these teachers from Judea of seeking to get to heaven by the blood of Christ plus baptism, the blood of Christ plus good works, the blood of Christ plus some effort of the flesh? I'll tell you, you'll either be in heaven by Christ's merits alone, or you'll not be in heaven at all. For no flesh will glory in God's sight. There will be no entrance to heaven except by the full and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's the very heart of the gospel. And that's what was under attack in Antioch. That's what the devil hid during those long dark ages in past history. And that's what he is attacking again today. And that's the heresy that we must ever be on our guard against. Let nothing be added to Christ. You remember a few Sabbath evenings ago, we were looking at the text taken from the record of the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus only. Jesus only. We need add nothing to Jesus Christ. Quickly, let me say a word about the controversy that ensued. We find, verse 2, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension. If my memory's right, I'll be corrected by one of my teachers here if I'm not right. I seem to recall, out of the misty past, a teacher telling me that that was a figure of speech called litotes. And it is a deliberate understatement. No small dissension means that there was a mighty great dissension. Now I want you to notice very clearly, peace in the church is a wonderful thing. And woe be to the man or to the woman who will become the devil's instrument in disturbing the peace of the church of Christ. Peace is a wonderful thing. But there are some things which are even more important to the child of God than peace. And this is one of them. You will notice that when the very foundation of the gospel was attacked, Paul and Barnabas entered the lists of conflict against the false teachers. You will notice the two words. There was dissension and there was disputation. Now get the words. The word dissension here has in it the thought of debate. The question was thoroughly gone into. Paul and Barnabas did not seek a form of words. Oh, this is the favorite trick of theologians and ministers today. A form of words that will gloss over the difference and that will please everybody. The question was totally gone into in the light of God's word. And then the word disputation is a stronger word, for it means strife. Strife. In other words, Paul became, if I can use this word, an enemy of these false teachers. He got to battling with them. He fought with them. Now, of course, that's out of keeping with modern man's and modern Christendom's notions of how we ought to conduct church affairs. Should Christians ever really get to fight about doctrine? Well, I don't believe in fighting God's people over things that are not fundamental to the faith. I have my views, for instance, on the great prophetic scriptures. I will preach those views as the Holy Ghost guides and leads. But I will not unchurch a man for my views and his views as to the relative position in history of certain great prophetic events. But I tell you, When we come down to the heart of the gospel, when we come, for instance, to the finality of the canon of Scripture, that there are no more inspired utterances after the final amen of Revelation, yes, I'm willing to fight for that. When we come to the inspiration and the infallibility of the Word of God, yes, I'm willing to fight for that. When we come to the deity, virgin birth, impeccable sinlessness, full and final vicarious atonement and bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, yes, I'm willing to fight for that. When we come to what we've been talking about this morning, salvation by the grace of God alone, salvation by the merits of Christ alone, salvation by faith alone, yes, I'm willing to fight for that. There are certain issues upon which we are called to enter the lists against the devil's crowd. There are certain issues for which we take a stand. And when we get to the heart of the gospel, then we will stand as Paul and Barnabas did, clear and plain for the great issues of the gospel. If you like to take your Bible, time doesn't permit me to do it this morning. You'll find there's a great theme running through the New Testament of Paul first standing himself for the great truths of the gospel and exhorting the believers to stand. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. He says, even if an angel from heaven, I want to tell you, that's not as far-fetched as it sounds, but not that there will be an angel from heaven who will apostatize. There will not be, because the angels who kept their first estate, we are told, are elect angels. And the election of God is not something that can be gone back on. But many a revelation has come, supposedly, by an angel from heaven. And here is this angelic apparition. And this is the message that comes with it. Paul says, bring it to Scripture. And even if an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. And strong language. He says, if any man, never mind any angel, preaches anything else to you than what we have preached unto you. Now there's narrow-minded bigotry if you want it. If that's bigotry, God make me a bigot. I want to stand where Paul stood. Paul said, if anybody preaches anything else unto you than I have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. Let him go to hell. And that was no vain language from the apostle. It was the curse of God. Philippians 1, verse 27. 1 Timothy 1, verses 18 and 19. 2 Timothy 1, verse 13. We haven't time to go into these texts this morning. But they're all in the same line, exhorting the people of God to stand for the great essentials of the faith. Jude says in verse 3 of his little epistle, that we are earnestly to contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Controversy. It's not something that's pleasing. It would be nice if everybody believed and if every preacher preached the great doctrines of grace. It would be good if we could all stand together shoulder to shoulder against the world. My friend, it's no use us living in some sort of a dreamland. That is not the case. And today there are abroad in the world open enemies of the gospel. But let me say very sincerely, I count the opposition of atheists and evolutionists and communists in a land like this, I count that opposition much, much less dangerous than the opposition that comes from false teachers within the pale who have taken the very heart out of the gospel and who have substituted man's merits and man's work for either all or part of the grace of God and the sufficient sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We're here to uplift the standard of the cross. God's sovereign grace and Christ's finished work. May God keep us faithful to the gospel. May God keep us preaching Christ as he's revealed in the gospel. Let me say to you this morning, if you're not saved, may God destroy every confidence you have in the flesh. May God show you that there's no hope of ever reaching heaven by what you can do or what you can merit. May God point you to that hill crag called Calvary. May you see in the fountain opened in the house of David for sin and for uncleanness, God's full and final answer to your sin. May God in grace bring you to Christ. Oh, may that Holy Spirit of God so brood upon your soul as to give you a living faith in the living Christ. And once you have faith in Christ, you're saved. Oh, you'll grow in grace, but as far as salvation's concerned, you're saved, and you need nothing more. May God indeed make that true in your experience. For his name's sake. Let's bow in prayer. Let's all seek the Lord's face in prayer. Father in heaven, bless thy word. Let us know souls who are depending on some other hope for heaven than Jesus Christ. Let us know those who are trusting the flesh, the works of the flesh, the church and the ordinances of the church. Thou dost see the needs of men and women. O God, our Father in heaven, save precious souls today. Lord, thou who didst command the light to shine out of darkness right at the dawn of creation, command the light to shine in many hearts today. And God grant that thou in sovereign grace, in mighty love and mercy, that thou wilt bring sinners to Jesus, to be washed in his precious blood, and to be saved by his sovereign grace. We look to thee, Lord. Keep us faithful to the great doctrines of the book. Lord, keep this church standing for God. We pray that thou wilt teach thy people not only here, but in the churches around about, wherever they're standing in separation to the gospel. Lord, we pray that thou wilt teach thy people to stand in the great issues of the faith. Lord, save God's people from going off on a tangent and some little notion of their own, and keep them faithful to the great doctrines of grace, preaching Christ in the fullness of his merit and power to save. Hear us now, we pray. Fill our hearts with gladness in Christ today, and let the Spirit of God lead God's people, fill God's people, and use God's people to the extension of thy kingdom. Part us now with thy blessing. Keep us in thy fear, which is the beginning of all knowledge and of all wisdom. Be the abiding portion of all thy blood-bought people, both this day and until our Savior either calls us home or comes again in all his glory. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.